At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. And let us surprise you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Yes, indeed. I am joined by Mary Meyer, horticultural science faculty member at the University of Minnesota Extension. And with us, she knows her stuff, as you regular listeners to this show. Mary, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here, Danny.
Well, it's always fun to have you in studio with us, you and your colleagues as well. We were talking, it's still hard to believe, 8 years we've been doing this.
8 years we've been doing smart gardens. Yes, it's wonderful. And we want to hear from our listeners. So we have a survey up online. Where,
remember Julie mentioning that.
Yes,
now tell us about that.
Right. So on the front lead story today for the Yard and Garden News on extension.umn.edu, click on garden or type in garden and you'll see the link for Yard and Garden News. And then the lead story shows us, Denny, right here in the studio. And there's a link there where you can click and make comments about the show. If you have suggestions or recommendations, you can do that. So we'd like to hear from you. But 8 years, and we're going to have a cake at the state fair. Right?
Oh,
we're
really?
Going to have a cake at the state
fair. As if we need more food at the fair, right?
Yes, but we'll try to do a celebration there. That's where
that's
public
great.
Can see us at the state fair. And so, yeah, but eight years, it's remarkable. And thank you, Denny, for allowing Extension to do this.
The thanks go to you
people.
Guys, is you do all the work here. And I know our listeners love it. It's probably the busiest show that we have here at CCO.
Because, especially in the summer.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, people, as you know, we get calls and texts 52 weeks a year about lawns and gardens.
We do. Year-round calls. And it's great. I mean, plants are a big importance in our lives.
Now, let me give you the phone number. It is the same now. If you have a lawn or garden question for Mary, by all means, call it in at 651-989-9226. That is also the same number for your text messages now. Easy to remember, 651-989-9226 for your calls and your text messages. Keep in mind that when Mary comes in, and along with her colleagues too, we tend to get really busy. So don't wait if you have a lawn or garden question. We want to field as many as we possibly can. Another thing you and I love to talk about and visit is the Arboretum.
Yes, the Arboretum is gorgeous right now. The roses are really blooming. We have multiple rose gardens out there, and roses are really looking wonderful this year. The peonies are just finishing. We have a beautiful peonies, and we have the You Betcha Labyrinth Palace that you can run through. It's a lot of fun. That's our big build, our exhibition for this summer. So wonderful to get out to the best botanical garden in the United States, voted by all the wonderful people here in Minnesota. That was a popular vote in USA Today. Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, the number one botanic garden in the United States.
How about
right
that?
Right here in our backyard. So a great place to visit. The summertime is just beautiful. If you're thinking about what to plant in your own garden, great to take a walk around the Arboretum, walk or drive around the Arboretum and see what's blooming. It's just a beautiful time to be there.
And bring that camera. You're going to see some beautiful stuff.
A lot of things
there.
Blooming.
Absolutely. Right. Yep. All right. We'll remind folks about that from time to time. Let's grab all the texts are flying in, phone calls as well. Here's a text to Mary. It says, I have a volunteer catalpa tree growing right next to my house. This is the third year for it, and I want to transplant it. How much of the root do I need to get out of there with it? I'm sure the root right now is about 20 feet long. So.
Well, you won't get 20 feet. I don't think that'd be very difficult unless you have a big
It's about 4 years
tree.
Old, they added.
4 years old, yeah. Well, certainly do it as soon as possible. And, right, I would do it as soon as possible as you can, not only right now this year, but every year you wait, it's going to get bigger and harder to transplant. So dig the hole well before where you're going to put it. Make sure you have the hole dug before you move, get the plant out of the ground. And then just go around it, get as much of the roots as possible, and keep it well watered afterwards. You probably should prune off some of the top because you won't get all of the roots. And it will, those big leaves take up a lot of water. They will wilt. So you might take off a third of what's growing at the top to prune it to compensate for the root loss and then keep it well watered. So, you know, this is tough. When you move a tree like that that has been growing on its own, it has a big root system. In the nurseries, plants are root pruned so that their roots are in a small confined area. So when they're moved, transplanted, or grown in containers, we have a big root mass. But in the wild like this, it's tough. It's a tough, but if you're going to do it now.
All right. Very good. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. I think Sharon is calling in from Eden Prairie. Sharon, you're on with Mary.
Well, good morning, Denny and Mary. I have a variegated weigela, and it's blossomed. Now, should I trim it now, or should I wait for a couple weeks, and how much?
You should prune it now as soon as it's finished flowering. This is the kind of the last of the spring flowering shrubs, and prune it right after it flowers. Weigelia is pretty tough. You can prune that quite a bit. You can take off some of the long tips if those are bothering you. Cut those back by a third. If you want to take off some branches way down to the ground to thin it out as well, you could do that as well.
All right. Good. Thanks, Sharon. Let's see who's next. Tom is calling from Maple Grove, I believe. Tom, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mary. We have an arch in our garden and had clematis planted on both sides of the arch. One side is full. It's like 2 foot thick, and it's starting to flower. The other side only has one strand that came up. So I don't know if we should look and replace that one on that side, or if it will come back full next year, so it'll balance out both sides.
You know, Tom, if it was mine, I'd just plant a third clematis in there. I mean, maybe I'd leave the one that's kind of weak. Clematis do come back, but gosh, that sounds so weak. I think I would just go plant another one and have that on there. I love the fact that you have an arbor with a clematis. I think that's a beautiful image for all of us to think about. But, you know, this winter was tough. We lost a lot of things. As one of the emeritus professors said to me, a lot of plants took it on the chin.
That's true.
Yeah, it was tough. So I'd plant another one, Tom.
You know, I wanted to ask you, you're not a shy person, but you don't promote a lot of stuff. But what is that great book that we've talked about in the past that Julie mentioned last Saturday?
I don't know the book that I wrote.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people like the grass book that I wrote.
Oh, that's true too.
That's true. But then the 10 plants that changed Minnesota.
The 10 plants that changed Minnesota.
Right. This is all to get people thinking more about plants, right?
Yeah.
Think about plants and what plants have made a difference to us in Minnesota. And of course, some of our ornamentals, I mean, the American elm, but corn, soybeans, the agronomic economic crops have had wheat, white pine, lots of in Minnesota. So, yeah, that's a book that's available from the Historical Society published that. It's available at the Arboretum gift shop. I actually have a couple events coming up in July and Historical Society events. One at Fort Snelling and so on to have that book there.
Oh, good.
Historical Society County events, Carver County as well, because people are interested in that. And it's cool. It's an interesting – apples, I mean, that's the big one.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, come on. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun.
All right. And you're going to be you're going to be here for the next, what, week or two on the show?
The next 2 weeks. I've 3 weeks in a row.
How about that? That's a first, I think.
One of three, yes. And it's, you know, it's all due to people's schedules. Julie today is out at the Arboretum where there are hundreds of master gardeners at the Arboretum on the
today.
Master Gardener Conference. Yesterday and today is the big conference out at the Arboretum with Master Gardeners Learning because that's a wonderful spot.
It's a perfect spot for that, yes. In the next couple of weekends, I'm going to take some time off, and Steve Thompson will be here joining you.
Good.
So there. Let's take a quick break here. We have callers on the line, texters as well. Don't go away. We're going to take this quick break. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Denny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, helping you out today, either by phone or by text, same number. Call in your lawn or garden question or text it in, 651-989-9226. Mary, we have a bunch of both, so let's put you back to work here. Bev in Minneapolis has been waiting on the line here. Bev, you're on with Mary.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Can I divide a daylily that has buds on it now and get it to bloom, or will it kill the plant and it won't be anymore?
I don't think you'll kill the plant. Daylilies are pretty tough. They've got a big, nice root system. You might set it back for flowering. So it probably won't flower anymore this year with your dividing it, but I doubt if you will kill it. You can divide daylilies. Daylilies and hosta are the two plants you can divide almost whenever they're growing. So make sure that you have the holes prepared before you dig the plants, and then water them well after you move them.
Okay. I'm going to get back to the text screen in a moment. Thank you, Bev. But let's take Elizabeth's call from Burnsville. Elizabeth, you are on CCO with Mary.
Yes, good morning. I have an apple tree. It's a Harrelson, and I've had it for about 25 years. And each year, for the last several years, each one branch dies. The leaves wither, and the branch dies, and we cut it off. Well, this is probably maybe the fourth year that it's doing that, and it's starting from the top, going all the way down. I've never seen the rest of the tree. The leaves are all green. It's just that it turned yellow, and then now it's dying. Brown. The branch, everything is dying.
Yes. So what you are describing is a classic fire blight, which is a disease that apples can get. I'm not really sure if Harrelson is particularly susceptible to that. Some cultivars are. But what you should do is that the first sign of seeing that turning yellow and flagging or starting to die, you want to cut that off as soon as possible and cut it off about a foot below where you see the flagging, because that can actually infect the tree for next year. So removal of the infected part, doing a good job with sanitation, cleaning up around the base of the tree, those are the best things you can do. And then I would urge you to go on the extension.umn.edu, click on garden, or just search apple fire blight. There'll be some pictures in there, and you can see if that matches what you have. So there are pictures of all the apple insect and disease problems there, but I think you've got fire blight.
Okay. You and I were talking about the time of year, this is off air now, about tis the season for a lot of different, garden shows?
Garden tours.
Yes, tours.
Yes, July is the month for garden tours, especially here in Minneapolis. So we have the Hennepin County Master Gardeners Learning Tour. Not only can you see gardens, but you can learn in their demonstrations at gardens. And that's the Saturday the 13th? Is that it? We have to get through the 4th of July. There are no tours this weekend that I know of, and none on next weekend because of the 4th of July. But the weekend after that, that Washington County, Ramsey County, Carver County, lots of counties around, and then there are garden centers that will do tours, Tangletown and so on. So just look online or go to the county websites for the county you're in with and search for the Master Gardener Tour. There are lots of these going on. It's a great chance to see other people's gardens. You can pick the region you want to go to in the city. And, the Arboretum, the Auxiliary does garden tours. And here you can have lunch, you can have brunch, you can listen to a harp player in the garden.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? So really, take advantage of all these garden tours we have in the cities. Just a lot of them.
Well, let's talk more about that as we get through the season, for sure.
Sure.
651-989-9226. Text the same number. Here's a text, Mary. We have a flowering ash tree that's beginning to have leaves that are turning yellow and some that are curling. It's in a sunny spot with plenty of water. It's about 4 years old.
You know, I'm not sure what this plant is. A flowering ash, ASH.
Yeah. I assume it's a tree.
Yeah, right. So the flowers on our ash trees are pretty inconspicuous, and they've been done for about 6 weeks.
Mm.
So I'm not sure what this person has. So here my quandary is, I can help you if you can identify the plant.
Okay. Well,
if you can't identify, or if I can't identify your plant from the common name you're using, then I'm really up the creek because I can't tell what's going on.
Well, maybe the texter heard you and will have a little more detail.
I'm wondering if it's mountain ash.
Ooh, maybe.
Mountain ash is a whole different thing than our ash shade trees. So if it's mountain ash, they do flower now and curling up. They have a plethora of problems, and this is a short-lived tree. 20 years is a long life for flowering ash. They actually grow better up on the North Shore than they do here in the cities. So I would look at the Yard and Garden page under What's Wrong with My Plant and search for the sorbus, S-O-R-B-U-S, sorbus, the flowering flowering ash, that doesn't really strike. It's not quite right, but I think that's what the person has.
Okay.
Mountain ash.
You may
mountain
be onto ash. Something there. We may even get a clarification from the from the texter. Hang on, Mary. We have another half hour of the show to go. We'll take this quick break. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions by phone and by text. Mary, we have a bunch of both. So let's get to it. Let's see who's been waiting. It would be Ken, who's calling from Blaine. Ken, you're on with Mary.
Good morning. I have a couple questions. One, I haven't seen any Japanese beetles yet. It seems like it's a little bit beyond when we normally see them. And the other questions I have is trimming forsythia and rhododendrons.
Yes, Ken. Well, just you wait. Those Japanese beetles, it's any day now. You know, usually it's right now. It's just around the 4th of July. They will come out. So if you think you've got Japanese beetles in your lawn, you can lay on your back in the lawn and just watch them emerge because they come right out of the turf. They just start flying right out of grass that they love. They complete part of their life cycle in the grass. But, yes, you will see them coming out soon. This heat could really help them come out. And the first ones that come out, if you can pick off the first ones, they kind of sound the alarm for the other ones coming in. So if you're vigilant early in the morning and pick off the first ones that come in, you can hopefully hold them off for a little while. Pruning forsythia, do that as soon as possible. Forsythia bloomed a while ago, and then it's been developing its buds. Ideally, you prune that right after it finishes flowering. You could probably get away with pruning it now. But this is when they form their flower buds for next year. Same way with the rhododendron. Try to get all that done by in the next 10 days.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Let's talk to Carol, who's calling from Mound, Minnesota. Go ahead, Carol. Good morning. Hello, Carol.
Hello, yes. I have a patch of these horrible thistles. And they keep growing every year, and we dig them out, and they come back. The problem is I don't know how I could kill them because they're right contingent to an organic vegetable garden.
Well, I think the one thing you might want to try is mowing them off mechanically. If that's at all possible and you can mow with a lawnmower, I would mow them and try to keep those under 2 inches. So just think of them as a lawn you want to repeatedly cut back. The thistle, especially Canada thistle, has a subterranean root system. Yes, in not only is it up on the top where we see it and we pull it and think, oh, I got the roots, it can have a 3-foot deep subterranean amazing root system. And then, of course, it will seed and grow by seeds as well. So I would just keep mowing it. Another thing would be tarping it or solarization, trying to block it on top with, you know, a heavy plastic tarp or something like that. And so good luck with that.
Texter wants to know, Mary, my clematis is wilted. Will I have to replace this or will it be okay next summer?
No, that clematis wilt is quite an issue. I think if it's wilted, you can leave it there and see how it goes, but that's not a good sign. I've lost a lot of clematis.
Did you really?
Wilt. Yeah, I really have. The traditional vining clematis of all those different cultivars, there are some other species of clematis. The recta is a totally different clematis. It doesn't get that wilt, but it isn't the same vining plant with a big flower. So, but it, usually it's not good. And when it's been in the soil like that, you almost want to think about a totally different species or a different vine.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Nancy's calling in from Crystal this morning. Nancy, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. We've always had a big supply of crickets in the whole neighborhood here, and they're loud. And we don't have any this year, none. I'm wondering if you know why.
Mm.
Nancy, I do not. I have to do some better listening.
I wonder if Jeff Hahn would know.
Oh, huh? Yeah, I wonder if Jeff would know. Well, I'm behind in listening to the webinar. There was a webinar, and I have it on my to-do list to get onto a podcast or listen to, about the huge decline of insects worldwide. So I don't know that crickets have been named in this, but we do know we have many fewer insects than we used to due to climate changes, differences in temperature, differences in rainfall. But this is something I can certainly ask Jeff Hahn about, and we can have him at least post a brief reply on the Yard and Garden News.
Okay, good.
So we'll look to give you an update there.
Hey, you know what we should do, Mary, is give that website
yes,
today.
extension.umn.edu, and then you can put in there Yard and Garden News or click on Garden, and Yard and Garden News will be a link you can go to, and you'll see there's a survey there. We're interested in what your comments are about the Smart Garden Show, any recommendations, changes. Let us hear from you.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. Back to the phones. Let's go. David is calling, I believe. David, you're on CCO. Good morning. You're on with Mary.
Yes, good morning. Mary, I have actually two questions. But first question is, I have a 75-year-old peony plant that has been passed down through the family. And it's growing well, except the last three years, it as the summer goes on, it gets this white, light gray, white markings on it. I don't have a clue what it is. I tried spraying antifungal stuff that didn't seem to do any good. It doesn't kill the plant, but it doesn't look as good as it should. It doesn't look healthy. And wondering, do you know what that would be?
Yeah, I think this is powdery mildew. It might be downy mildew, but more likely powdery when you have the white discoloration. And as you say, it's not fatal, but it can weaken the plant. And coming in later in the year, it's due to high humidity. Shadier conditions, you tend to get it. Try to keep the foliage dry. That's the one thing you do. Improve air circulation, which is always difficult, but try to keep the foliage dry.
David,
there's nothing you can spray. What's that?
It's not worth
nothing
it.
You can. David is calling in by Mary from Kindred, North Dakota. Where's Kindred, North Dakota, David?
It's about 20 miles southwest of Fargo. I listened to WC. I went to school for 8 years at the University of Minnesota and became addicted to WCCO.
Well, we like that.
Good for you.
We like that. Well, thanks for calling in this morning. We appreciate that. Yeah, Kindred, North Dakota. I wanted to mention that. Thank you, David. 651-989-9226. Or send a text. That is the identical number, 651-989-9226, for your text messages as well for Mary. Okay, let's see. Oh, we've got, here it is. Another text with just a bunch came in. My burning bush shrubs did not leaf out much this year, just a few leaves in each, but leaves at the bottom. Should I cut them down to a foot high, you think?
You can try this. This is the plant that took it on the chin this year because the burning bush died. A lot of these died. Big old plants died. And we are all still scratching our heads as horticulturists what happened. When I mentioned this, I was just at a conference with colleagues from around the United States, and I mentioned the burning bush loss. Someone said, what about bark cracking, the winter bark cracking, and that could have been another way it got injured. But you can prune it back because if it hasn't leafed out now, that all of that is dead. Maybe it'll come back, and maybe it won't. So you can see.
All
yeah,
right.
It's a tough deal.
651-989-9226 for your questions. Here's another one, a text. My raspberry bush is growing healthy, no Japanese beetles, but the bush's blooms are not producing fruit. What's up?
Well, they do take a while for the fruit to actually be there. So I would say if the fruit is, or if the flowers are there, the bloom should be there. If they're in the same location that they have been, full sun, getting enough water and so on, they should come on. If they don't, I would just wait a while, maybe do some pruning. Maybe there's too much vegetative growth there. But I would wait a while to make sure that you don't have the, and you just can't see them yet.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Brian, I believe, is calling from Minneapolis. Brian, you're on with Mary.
Yes, hi. I every summer purchase a basil plant that's already grown, and I transplant them into my garden. I pull them apart and transplant them. And this year, I got some kind of copper brown spots, which I understand is some kind of a disease. As they're growing, I pinched off the top leaves, and the new leaves that are coming out don't seem to have that on it. Should I normally expect that it will eventually infect the plant again, or might they grow healthy now?
This probably what you have is downy mildew on that basil. This has been a devastating disease problem across the industry with basil. There are two kinds of basil now that are resistant to this downy mildew, but I think you'll only get that basil at the garden centers where they're talking about it being resistant to downy mildew. I do the same thing you do, Brian. I buy the basil at the grocery store. I bring it home, and I, especially the summer now, use it like I would a garden plant, put it in a bigger pot, and have it for quite a while. But the grocery store ones, it's not likely they're resistant to downy mildew. So try some from the garden center.
All right. Very good. We're getting some reaction about the crickets question.
Oh, good, good. Who's hearing crickets, right?
this one texter says crickets come out a little later in the year. And let's see, there's another one. I think, texter says, it's too early for crickets. An old tale stated that 30 days after the first crickets, the fall frost comes.
This is frightening.
Good, yes. There are no crickets yet. Let summer live on.
So the whole life cycle, and of course we are still tracking. I was looking at a national map talking about 2 weeks behind. Now pretty soon that's going to be over because we're into the heat of summer now. But I did see that about that was about 7-10 days ago. The map was published for nationally showing we were behind 2 weeks up here. So thank you. Yes, it's simply the life cycle, the development, and the timing. So hopefully this is the answer yet to come. Maybe we can get a life cycle map from Jeff and put
okay.
that on our website.
Good. Mary, let's take a quick break here. We have more show to come. If you have a lawn or garden question, we have callers already on the line, texters as well. We'll do this break and be right back. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Let's, Mary, give that website again before we forget. It's a great resource.
Yes, extension.umn.edu, and then type in garden or click on garden, and then at the Yard and Garden News, you can see our survey about the Smart Garden Show. But you can search in the extension website for any garden issue you have. Put in mountain ash, put in apple fire blight. Those are some of the things we talked about today. And you'll see pictures. You can verify what you have and what's wrong. What's wrong with my plant? What insect is this? What weed is this? Lots of information.
Lots of good stuff. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's go back to the phones. Mark is calling from Ramsey this morning. Mark, you're on CCO.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Morning. Hey, I want to prune or trim for the first time, you know, kind of shape a lilac bush now that it's done flowering. But it's the bush with the micro, tiny, really delicate flower, you know, real fragrant flowers.
Yes, I think probably you have the Miss Kim, or the, it's a little bit later flowering, the different species than our traditional common lilac. And yes, so you want to do that right now. Pruning lilacs just as the flowers are fading is the best time to do that. You know, lilacs are all a pretty tough group. So if you want to shape them into a particular shape, you can do that. Pruning out from the base is acceptable also, but this is a good time to do that.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Mary Jo is calling in from Edina with a question. Mary Jo, what is your question?
Hi. My husband thought you'd get a kick out of this one. We have, and I know you've had this problem. I've heard about it on the boxwood. We've had a boxwood on the east side of the house for about 10 years. And this year, it's the whole top of it is all this gold color, and it looks dead to me. My husband says he's going to get around to shaping it and pruning it, but he hasn't done it yet. And I went to the store and found a can of green spray paint that just about matches it perfectly, and I am ready to paint it. And he's saying, well, I think you better check it out because it might kill it. So I thought I better ask first.
Yeah. We're still laughing here.
We were just talking about boxwood off the air.
We were just talking about it, but I didn't think about spray painting it. So is it, your question is the paint going to be toxic to the boxwood? I guess, well, you know what? The area that is gold or brown is dead. And that stem on mine, and I think all of our listeners, if you got a brown on your boxwood, yeah, it is brown from top to bottom. That stem is dead. So if you could carefully recolor your gold to green again with a spray paint, go for it, especially if it matches. Yeah, go for it. That section of your boxwood is dead. My boxwood is not even going to need pruned. It has been weakened so much by the winter that I don't have to prune it this year because the whole thing is not growing, even though mine's only about 20% gold. But give it a shot and try not to get much paint on the others, because that paint is going to make a layer on your green leaves, and that is going to interfere with photosynthesis. So only paint the brown.
Use some masking tape.
Oh, my gosh. My colleagues are going to say, you should have told her not to do it.
Yes. Why not? Like you said, that part is dead anyway.
It's dead.
All yeah. right. Texter says, I grow tomatoes in containers on my deck, and they do very well, big and bushy. But once they start to fruit, the leaves die and fall off. I still get great tomatoes, mostly cherry tomatoes are what I grow. Is it normal for the leaves to die when the fruit is growing?
Yes, because this is when the diseases develop over time in the summer. Septoria leaf spot, early blight, then late blight even can come in. Those over this course of our summer will start and then devastate from the bottom up. We find that, yes, you can still get a crop of tomatoes. Michelle Grabowski, our plant pathologist, would say, yes, you can still get a crop. And I do not spray for these fungal diseases. It's very difficult to have any chemical control on these. Try to keep the foliage dry. When they're in containers, you have a better chance of just watering up at the base. Keep the foliage dry. Keep them in full sun. You can hand pick off the brown leaves. Once the yellow-brown ones, take those off. So good sanitation.
You mentioned the phrase full sun. We just got a text a bit ago saying, what is considered full sun? I'm wondering if my tomatoes are getting enough.
It's 6 to 8 hours a day.
Okay.
Some people say 8 for sure, maybe 6. But you really have to time that. Is that plant in the sun for that amount of time? Anything less than that, 6 to 8, is partial shade.
Okay. Mark is next up on the telephone here. Mark, you're on with Mary. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I have a question about my front yard. I've never had this issue before, but I have mushrooms growing in there.
Yes.
Is that something I need to be concerned about?
No, mushrooms are really a temporary issue. They're growing on some decaying organic matter. It could be old roots if a tree was taken out from that area. It could be pieces of bark, pieces of mulch. With moist growing conditions, lots of moisture, that's when mushroom spores actually germinate and start to grow. If they bother you, you can remove them with a rake or just by hand removal, getting rid of them. Once the fruiting bodies will be short-lived and they will die.
Okay. Seen them in my yard, too. Just knock them over.
You know, yeah.
No big deal. All right. We have textures. I'd like to grab as many as we can, too. Let's see. You've answered that. We've talked about the crickets before. How do I get rid of wild raspberries? Texter wants to know.
Just repeatedly cutting them down. If they are in an area where you can mow with a lawnmower, they don't like that. They need to have at least 6 inches of growth. So if you maintain them less than 6 inches, like what lawn height of cut, they will die.
Texter says, I'm growing flowers for my daughter's wedding in 5 weeks. How can I ensure that the annuals continue to flower until then?
Good for you. That's a fun idea. If you have annuals, that's the best thing. They will flower all summer long. Probably fertilizer is going to be your limiting factor, or watering. Don't go on a 2-week vacation and not have somebody water these annuals. So watering and fertilization. We just wrote an article on that, maintaining annual plants on the Yard and Garden blog. So, fertilizer, the liquid fertilizer, once a week is annuals need a lot of fertilizer to keep flowering.
All right, good idea. Something, Texter says, is either cutting off or eating my geraniums and marigolds. They're cut off and the green just lays there around the plant. Nothing eats them. They are just cut off. What could be, what could it be?
Well, there is a cutworm that is very much the color of soil that does come in and cut off things. Usually tomatoes we see the cutworm on, and it's hard to find those worms. But it could be just pesky animals, chipmunks, other animals trying out your plant to see what it tastes like. So I would just kind of watch closely and see what you can find. If you want to put up some type of a barrier to keep animals out of it. You know, I have birds. I have finches that love alyssum. And I watch them on my porch boxes just sit there and eat the alyssum flowers. So just try to watch closely and see if you can see what it is. But I would expect cutworms or an animal.
Mary, we have just about a minute to go. Somebody wanted to know more details about the Master Gardener Garden Tour. Well, you mentioned garden tours before.
Yes. So the Hennepin County Master Gardener Tour is, what is that going to be? The 13th, I think. I'll look it up here.
Okay.
It's the second Saturday. But go to Hennepin County Master Gardeners. I would just Google that and see if you can't see right there their garden tour. Yes, it's July 13th. And this is a learning tour. And you can pay beforehand or you can pay the day of the tour. But the information is on just Google Hennepin County Master Gardener Learning Tour. And they'll tell you what area of the city it's in. Many times you can go to the first garden and you can buy your ticket there.
Excellent. Well, Mary, we're out of time. It's great to see you. I know you'll be back again next week, won't you?
Next week, yes. All right. My pleasure, Dan.
All right, and Steve Thompson will be sitting in at that time. So thanks, Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do one.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included. plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.